this is John.
Hey, I'm Arvin.
This is Behind the Scenes.
Of Our Best Days.
Season 7.
Season 7, that's right.
Wow. And, you know, we're recording this in April 2024. We actually just got done with outlines and talking through Christmas and Easter. Christmas 2024.
That's right.
And Easter 2025.
That's right. Absolutely. It's,
oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
I am as well. It was the next step in our evolution in terms of microevolution, by the way.
Microevolution. Yeah, yeah. We don't believe in...
all you creationist people, yes. Myself included. No, it was the next step in our growth to challenge ourselves. No one's asking us to do it this way. But
we're doing it... Okay. Just, this is a behind the scenes, remember, a behind the scenes podcast. We're doing a certain thing this next year.
Yeah.
And I know we're like gatekeeping a little bit. We'll figure out a time to let you guys know what it is before we announce it to everyone else.
Yes.
But it's so cool.
It's very ambitious.
It's an ambitious thing that we're doing
for
this next production season here at Victory International Productions and Victory Church. Well, for those of you who are just found this podcast, I had someone so sweet message me via Instagram. She is a creative. I think she lives in Nashville.
Okay.
And she messaged me and she said that she found this podcast. And she said, or someone sent it to her.
Weird.
And she was like, I have gone back and I've listened to them and it has been so helpful because, so Mel McCurley.
Hi, Mel.
Thank you so much for listening.
That's crazy.
But Mel McCurley, she also is a musician.
Wow.
And hopefully we didn't change your name to protect the innocent.
I can beep it out if we need to. Do I need to bleep it out? It'll sound like we're cussing.
Yeah, no, don't beep it out. But
Mel
anyways,
McBeep.
She was just one of the individuals who sent and was like, hey, I've been listening. Thank you so much for doing it. We really enjoy it.
Wow.
I know.
I'm really glad to hear that.
I know. I was like, oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Thank you. So go check her music out.
Yeah.
And make sure that if you are creative, just making sure that you're staying inspired, but also healthy habits. And one thing that I've realized is that in the church world in which we work in here at Victory Church, we serve our amazing pastors, Pastor Paul and Pastor Ashley. Both of them have a unique dynamic in which sometimes they won't always communicate with each other.
Oh, sure.
But they will give marching orders to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then in front of people,
and
they wouldn't mind me saying this,
no,
but
this
in
is
front
a fun
of people,
thing.
You know, something funny like Pastor Paul would be like, hey, are we good to go with the big slip and slide down the hill? Mm-hmm. In Victory Park, which, by the way, my brother, Pastor Paul, wanted to build a mountain. He wanted to build a mountain.
Like a slip and slide mountain?
And so we built it at Victory Park, and he's like, we're going to call it Victory Mountain.
Yeah.
Let's put a cross up there where people can go and pray.
Dude, yes, dude.
And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, over the last few years, anytime we have extra dirt, they add it to Victory Mountain.
That's kind of fun.
It actually is. Like, when it snows, you will see people over at Victory Park sledding. Oh, yeah. And in the summer, we put a slip and slide. Well, anyways, so Paul's like, yeah, let's just put up a slip and slide for a Wednesday night. Let's do a Wednesday night outside. And then he won't communicate it to Pastor Ashley. And Pastor Ashley will go, okay, now let's think about this. Service will start at 6:30. Currently, the last few summers in Tulsa, at 6:30 p.m., it is 102 degrees. She goes, also, with the slip and slide, you've putting it, fastening it in the ground, are you using, and he's like, yeah, we're just using like stakes, like tent stakes. And she goes, now, is someone's leg going to get cut open and we're going to have to pay for their surgery and stitches?
Yeah.
She's just the smart person. And Pastor Paul's also smart.
Yeah.
But Pastor Paul's like the visionary and the, let's do it, let's dream big.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Ashley's like, what, why, where, when, how, structure.
Yes, that's good.
And so,
you
anyways.
You need both.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as a creative in this field, as you guys know, some of you have worked at a church, or maybe you haven't worked at a church, maybe you've worked in a creative agency or whatever, but regardless, you have a boss, you have a leader. They are your leader and they are your boss for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're going this whole direction for this podcast is I wanted to talk about leadership.
Yeah.
And kind of what to do. Okay. So you guys will be watching this. Are listening to this, and this is old news, but there was a men's conference in Missouri.
Yeah, dude.
There was a men's conference in Missouri through James River Church.
Yeah.
Pastor John Lindell.
Great.
Great church. Great pastor. They have multiple campuses. I believe they're like the largest church in Missouri.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyways, and he was friends with my dad before my dad passed. Well, nice. Okay. So at the beginning of this men's conference, there is a guy who is like an acrobatic sword swallower.
Cirque du Soleil kind
Cirque du Soleil. Artistic.
Yes.
And if you want to do that for a men's conference, that's a decision.
Totally up to you.
Absolutely. Well, there was a tall pole on the stage, like a fireman pole, or like some would say a stripper pole.
Yeah. An ashra.
An ashra. And so the music begins. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah. Takes his shirt off, ripped, oiled up.
Yeah.
And then begins to, like, go up and down this pole.
Yeah.
And then he swallows the sword and then climbs up to the top of this pole and then slides down.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, it is wild.
Yeah.
There were people that clapped because I'm like, whoa, that's an amazing feat.
No, sure.
I could not do that.
I can't swallow a sword.
I can't.
I can't climb a pole either.
I can't climb a pole either.
Yeah.
No, I tried when I was low on rent.
Imagine that conversation where they fire you from pole climbing. They go, here's the thing. You just...
Stop. Anyway. Yeah. You know, anyways. But, so that happened. The next night, Mark Driscoll, who is a pastor, he was a pastor in church in Seattle.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a falling out. Not kind of.
Kind of.
A lot of.
Yeah.
And...
as he described it as a trap had been set. He got trapped.
Okay, so Pastor Mark Driscoll gets up and he openly rebukes the conference, the pastor, and everything for what took place the day before. Because he was like, hey, this dancer... It looked like without context. That's a good thing. Without context.
Yeah.
Okay. It looked like, oh, wow, there's a male stripper.
Yeah.
And there's like a sword and like weird music. And he's going up and down a pole.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it makes sense for a pastor to openly rebuke.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, and then mid-rebuke, Pastor John Lindell, who's, they're putting on this conference. This conference is for men. It's actually not a Christian conference.
Mm.
It's like not a church conference. It's not at their church. It's like, it's a way to introduce people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, whether that opener, that's not why we're done.
Yeah.
Long story short, he gets up and he goes, hey, Mark, you're done. And then Mark goes, thank you. I respect what you say. And then Mark walked off stage.
Put his hat on.
Walked off stage, grabbed his Bible, walked off. Basically, John was like, hey, you're done. Then people start booing.
Yeah.
People start swearing. And you see it recorded from multiple people's phones.
Yeah.
And then Pastor John Lindell was like, hey, Pastor Mark was with me for half an hour before this. He should have talked to me before openly rebuking.
Yeah.
And so anyways, well then, as you guys know, that is juicy. People love to attack what you would call a mega church. They love to attack a mega church for anything that they do that you're like, okay, this is not biblical.
Right.
There's no sword swallowing pole dancing in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Yeah.
People love to jump on it. The one thing, because me and Arvin have been on the other side, now we have never done sword swallowing pole dance.
Yeah. And now we never will.
We
have to throw out our plans for next
Easter. Thanks
a
lot, James River. I'm kidding. Here's the thing. You have to look at people you will know them by their fruit.
Yeah.
The fruit of James River.
It's awesome.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
Many salvations and baptisms and people being restored and redeemed. And then his sermons are filled with scripture. It's not like he like, oh, here's an idea and a concept that I have.
No, sure.
It's Bible.
Yeah.
Why they decided to do that was odd.
It's a creative decision.
It was a creative decision. So the whole reason for this podcast is I just would love for us to kind of talk about anytime there's something like that or... You know, another church in our city in Tulsa is Transformation.
Yeah.
We love Pastor Mike Todd.
Totally.
Regardless, and we may lose listeners over this, I don't care, because I know that Pastor Mike Todd is a great individual, a great person.
Yeah.
There are people who come to know Jesus and get saved through Transformation Church. I'm not here to argue theology.
Sure.
I believe you have to preach the Bible. You have to preach scripture. Yeah. The word of God is alive. It's the only thing that will change people.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about is, like, in leadership, because Victory has been on the side where we have done something. We did a Christmas production a few years ago, and we sampled an Ariana Grande song in our Christmas production, which really was from Sound of Music.
Right.
Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, da-da-da-da, on their nose and eyelashes. These are a few of my favorite things.
Right, right.
When the dog bites. Okay, that is Julie Andrews.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande ripped it.
Yeah.
And she did a song. We sampled 12 seconds of it at the beginning of a music portion within a Christmas production.
Yeah.
Then that snippet, people will take snippets from Creative Elements.
Yeah.
And out of context online, it looks as if we are Satan worshipers, that we have left the faith, that we have left the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And that we are heretics, where we actually pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues.
Yeah.
Like, Pastor Paul preaches from the Bible, but people attacked us.
Yeah.
Once we've been attacked, it always makes me leery to attack another church on a creative illustration that is a little weird.
Absolutely.
So before I wanted to jump in and be like, yeah, in James River, you're bad. And Pastor John Lindell, you're whatever.
Sure.
I had to think, okay, you will know them by their fruit.
Yeah.
Their church has impacted people. They do missions. They do outreach.
Yeah.
They preach the word of God.
Yeah.
Could this possibly have been a young adult on the creative team that said, oh my gosh, we should have this guy who does sword swallowing action.
Yeah, yeah.
He can open up the conference.
Sure.
And that would be cool. And Pastor John Lindell did not know that he was going to pole dance and rip his shirt off.
Totally possible. Yeah.
That is, now I'm not saying that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. I'm not saying that is the thing. But it has happened here at Victory, where Pastor Paul was unaware of something that actually was a John decision. Me, I am John. My name is John.
Yeah.
I made a decision. I go, oh, it would be creative if.
Yeah.
And then we do something.
Yeah.
And then we hear it.
Right.
From it goes viral.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
On how bad it was.
Yeah.
Or how you know the Victory is no longer of God, and Pastor Paul has to take the bullets for it.
Yeah.
And people blame Paul, and deep down in my heart, actually not even deep down, pretty surface, because he's like, dude.
Yeah.
John. And so after that,
you
know, we screen and we are very strict on our productions. We are just like, is this in the Bible? Okay, instead of taking songs that are popular, let's write our own music. And so we started writing our own music, and the music is even better now that we wrote it. I think so. But I'm not here to like pat Victory on the back. What I'm saying is that anytime someone who is a spiritual leader does something, whether there's an illustration, a conference, a production, or something that is odd, I'm always hesitant to jump in, because I'm like, what is the context?
Absolutely.
And could this have happened without the pastor knowing it?
Sure, sure.
And I want to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I think that the rebuke was correct.
Okay, yeah.
And then they got back on stage,
yeah,
right?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, 30 minutes of reconciliation, and this is an example of how brothers, which is why I feel like it's safe to talk about,
because
of how they did it.
Because they ended with reconciliation.
Beautiful,
in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Which was literally showing them, this is how the Bible works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So go for it.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to is that, because it's not just them. It's, you know, it happened with TC last Easter. It's happened with us a litany of times. And it's all over the place. I think it's important to recognize the type of person you have to be to become vocal about why what something a church did was evil and heretical and wrong. Because that seems to be the most potent, lofty accusation you can make at a church. And I think it we do ourselves a disservice if we see it as these two sides and this church makes something and people are upset. And it's better to look back at the fact that the person who is lashing out at a large ministry or organization is 100% of the time they are in pain. They are in
some
kind of...
So the people online...
Yeah, they
that
hate
are lashing
online.
Out.
Yes.
And there's other people online who say, wait, what's the... I love when people in comments, they say, wait, what was the context of this? Question mark.
Right.
Wait, hold on. What happened? Wait, I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
I believe that's the right approach.
Totally.
As opposed to just seeing something, forming an opinion.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then, bah, 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 and then machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's about whatever they see.
Ooh.
I think it's about the actual pain they feel. Maybe they were an individual who didn't feel like their gifts were seen and stewarded and welcomed at a church environment or in any sort of creative endeavor. Even if you're not like a church person and you're just, you are a non-Christian person who just sees that stuff and goes, that's terrible, that's whack. First of all, I think those people lack context. They don't look at it, nor do they care to have that.
They don't care to have context.
They just like,
they just
the spirit
want to
of the age
something.
Right now is if you can find something to complain about, you are entitled to a certain amount of attention.
Wait, wait, wait. I want you to say that because I think this is the backbone of this podcast.
Yeah, to pin the needle on 2020s, the era we live in, the spirit of the age is if you can complain about something, if you can find something to complain about, to say, oh, I'm a victim of that, outrage, now you feel justified seeking attention. Now you're entitled to some sort of you guys need to apologize. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. I actually think that it's rooted in something that is completely bogus. I'm careful because I'm respectful toward people who would see something, and I'm not blanket saying anything any church because I've seen there are
churches
places,
are filled with people and people aren't perfect.
And there are
me,
places that are
Victory.
Heretical,
we are not
and I'm
perfect.
Not covering that.
Yeah,
I'm saying most of these same people do not hold that standard for the music they listen to or for the movies they watch or for anything. It's just that if they see a church doing something, they want to find something wrong with it. And I think if it's true at the individual level, then hopefully it can be true corporately, that if someone is devoted, let's take you and me for example, and you say something, and I am devoted to misunderstanding you. I'm devoted to figuring out.
So like I say something, I'm like, hi, I'm John, this is John, this is John Christian Church,
sure.
And we're on stage, and the backbone of our church is missions and outreach. That's all that we really focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would find, what would you say?
If I'm devoted to misunderstanding a person like that, I go, I thought Jesus was the backbone of the church.
Mm.
You know, and that's the kind of stuff you see. And what's crazy is, like, it's a human thing. It's not just
example.
A church thing. Like, if you're devoted to misunderstanding, you're going to find something. You will always find something. But if your heart is devoted to correct communication, what sucks is the people in that position who are at a distance watching and complaining, this is an unfortunate reality. They have a higher chance of, and this is maybe something the church should change, they have a higher chance of being heard if they are negative.
Oh, so hold on. This is good for all of our listeners and viewers. So you have a higher chance of being heard if you're negative. It's kind of like...
A squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil. People only watch news and they only follow Twitter accounts that are exposing P. Diddy, that are exposing Beyonce and Jay-Z and all that stuff. It's like, oh, this is juicy. This is negative stuff.
Right.
None of it is positive.
Sure.
The whole like quiet on set through Nickelodeon.
Sure.
Again, now we're like going, I don't want to do a rabbit trail.
Sure.
But I'm basically saying, they used to say sex sells, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they would make things kind of sexy with commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I think negativity sells.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you carry that over in the church world. And negativity is heard.
Yeah.
It is, the attention is on the negativity.
Yeah.
It's like, dumb. I don't know why. I just I was like, we're trying to do the nativity while people are doing the negativity. Stupid. Anyways, I'm so glad I didn't say that out loud. Wait, I just did.
Yeah.
So anyways.
But what I'm landing on is,
yeah,
if you are devoted to misunderstanding, more often than not, you'll have an audience. It's unfortunate, but you will. But that's all you get. It's sort of in scripture where it's like, if you do something
for
everyone to see, enjoy the attention because that's the only reward you get. But okay, your father who sees what you do in private will reward you if you go the other route. So this is an explanation of that in scripture. There's a woman who is not a Jewish woman. She's a Gentile woman. She goes to Jesus. It's one of the most controversial conversations Jesus has in the Gospels, where Jesus is understanding at the time. He says, I only do what I hear my father or see my father do, and I only say what I hear my father say. So at that point in time, it hadn't been the time yet for the message to, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, reach the Gentile people. So Jesus is working with the Jewish people. So his understanding is what he hears his father say and do what his father does. This woman comes to him asking for him to pay attention to her daughter. And he says, it's not good to take food from the children and give it to the dogs. If you're a 2024 individual devoted to misunderstanding what he just said, you're going to say, he just called me a B word. He just called me a dog. He just said this about me.
If you're devoted to
misunderstanding. If you want to find a reason, because this is similar to like, and I'm not a parent, so I'm saying this gently.
Say it.
The dynamic of a parent whose child is like, I want your attention, and I can't get your attention doing everything you want me to do, so I'm going to act out. So a lot of people, like, that's the problem. We were talking about the church folks who are complaining, and the chances of them having an audience with the pastors is higher that way. Because if you're just supportive, unfortunately, you're not going to get that much one-on-one attention.
If you're supportive, if you don't really say
if you're like,
anything,
hey, this is great, and go, okay, thanks for the comment, thanks for the like, whatever. It just doesn't work that way. Nor should it necessarily, because is that the motive? Is the motive to get a one-on-one audience with that pastor? Then that should be the
it
problem.
It really comes back
place.
Down to you guys, to us, the
yes.
individuals.
How does a person approach? Yes, exactly. And so to land the plane here, the point I'm making is if a person's heart is devoted to misunderstanding, they're going to do that. And what sucks is if this was a black and white issue, it would be really, really nice. But what's the problem is that there are a lot of Christian people who they want to envision themselves in the upper echelon of Christian service and ministry. And they think they can crowbar their way in there by being a victim of what this ministry did heretically. If we were to, if that's really the case, if these people are really heretical, not James River or anybody in particular, but I'm saying if you're in a place where you're critical of a leader, don't you think it's more important to God that this heretic is thriving than it is to you? Don't you think he would handle it? So what it exposes is that it's not about the heresy. It's not about what this church did that they shouldn't have done. It's about the fact that they get to do this stuff and be wrong, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, so what you're really telling the world when you post complaints and you post mean things and you say stuff about other mega churches shouldn't do this, and da, 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 I guarantee you don't know what mega churches are doing for people that they do not advertise to you, because the Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Right.
If your father sees what you do. So there's things that these churches are doing regularly, that these individuals who work at these churches are doing regularly, that they don't feel compelled to make you aware of all the time, because that would be exploitative. Look at what we did for these people. And sometimes people do that and it's weird. But these people will I heard someone the other day, they were tearing down Joel Osteen, and it was a comedian. It was Ron White talking to Joe Rogan, and he's like, they need to investigate that guy. And I wanted to just, if I could have been in the conversation, I would say, you need to investigate him, because he hasn't taken a salary in 2 decades.
So this is Joel Osteen, the guy that people roast.
Yeah, who is, I love him. I love him so much.
I'm a Joel Osteen guy.
I love him so much. And especially when you do investigate. The problem is it's easy to sit there and make an assumption and then talk about it. And Joel Osteen has enough backbone and courage and godliness to turn the other cheek. He's not even going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so funny how Joel Osteen will never run to a comment section and defend himself.
That's right.
As much as all of these famous people just bash on him. And
yeah.
I loved when Jimmy Fallon interviewed Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I don't think I did.
Jimmy Fallon interviews Joel Osteen.
Yeah, yeah.
Joel Osteen is funny. He doesn't have any pauses when he's answering.
Right.
And Jimmy Fallon even is like, so what's this whole thing about you guys embezzling money?
No, sure.
And like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Joel Osteen answers him straight up, gives him truth, gives him facts, and is like kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that dude crushed it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And who else would have the ear of Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And in my mind, I'm like, usually the individuals that come against someone like a Joel Osteen, I'm like, okay, you're just jealous.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where I think the problem is. I have no beef with a person who says, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in the church, I don't believe in God, and I don't like mega churches. Great.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, that's like hot and cold, but when you're lukewarm.
When you are the person in the middle, when you are Costi Hinn, and you want to create a YouTube page.
So Costi Hinn, his father is...
Uncle.
His uncle
was Benny Hinn.
Hinn.
He wrote this whole thing about that experience he had. He's moved out of it. But now I'm like, my guy, you're
made a living off of basically bashing...
Calling out false prophets.
Calling out
telling
false
people, and I feel comfortable saying his name because he feels comfortable talking about Mike Todd. He feels comfortable posting videos. And you look at
you can look
videos,
it up on Google.
Yeah, yeah, we're not go on YouTube.
We're not giving you the tea.
And I, frankly, I would be very kind to him if I met him and would love to talk about this, and I would hold this... I feel like it's fair to talk about.
Yeah, talk.
And if not, we'll cut it from the episode.
No, keep it.
The point I'm making, though, is... So a guy like Pastor Mike Todd...
Yes.
...has this phenomenal church doing all this stuff in Tulsa and the
great
world.
Great dad.
Unbelievable
see him
family.
With his children.
Yes, exactly. Great dad with his kids.
Husband.
He, real good. And the stuff we find out in private about how kind he is to people privately, he doesn't advertise it, whatever. He creates, God empowers him to, their ministry's lifted up. A lot of people want to get behind it and support it, both in prayer, in attendance, in loyalty, in finances. Great. All that stuff's happening. People want to say what they want to say about him. Here's my beef, though. If you don't like it, you're just, you can make peace with the fact that you're not called to be under that person's leadership and teaching. That's fine.
Yeah, that
Move
actually
on.
Can coexist.
Absolutely. I've had this conversation before with someone who had another opinion about another pastor in town. This isn't a staff member here. It's someone who lives in Seattle. And they were talking about how they didn't like this certain preacher. And I said, that doesn't make that person a false prophet. It just means you're not called to be under their teaching. Here's where it gets
Good.
Weird. Here's where it gets really weird. You set up a YouTube page. You monetize it so views make money for you. And then you make a lot of money talking about pastors who make money. That to me, when Costi Hinn, and you're like, okay, your videos about you preaching, you got 400 and 500 views. Your videos about Mike Todd make dozens of thousands of views. So if you're making any money from this, you're making it because it's off
you're
of the back of
about
talking
people.
Bad about, well, this is a false prophet. Don't go to his church. This is a false prophet. This is a false prophet. And I'm like, y'all are throwing this phrase around way too liberally. It doesn't cost you anything to go, I personally don't appreciate, you know.
So you're saying the right way to go about it is if there is someone who is in a spiritual leader, they're a pastor or they're an evangelist or something, probably a great way to go about it is to say, you know, I'm just not called to their leadership.
Fair. That's it. Don't sow discord. Don't go making money talking about how it's wrong that these people have so much money. That's absurd to me. That's absurd to me.
That's pretty wild.
That's pretty obscene to me.
I feel like that's not a whole lot of awareness.
Yes, exactly. And I go, whatever you're dealing with whatever experience you had before, I mean, right, Benny Hinn's preaching now, and he's doing phenomenal, and he...
And people are getting healed.
And he is very, if you look at what Jesus Image is doing, Michael Koulianos, Jessica Koulianos, Jessica is Benny Hinn's daughter, one of his daughters, and you hear Pastor Benny preach now, and he talks about that era of his life. I am personally a massive proponent of people who have gone through difficult church scandals.
Okay, so people welcomed. Who go through scandals,
yes.
And then they end up communicating after the scandal, after they've been restored.
That's right. They've gone through a process.
After a restoration process.
And they go, I repent, and what I did was wrong, and I'm not necessarily qualified to preach anymore. Dude, as a person who's been in church for 30 years, now I want to hear what you have to say.
Because you just said, I screwed up, I repented, I was wrong, I don't have a right to speak anymore.
Yeah.
But this is what God is doing in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I just that's think powerful.
If you're a person who endeavors to accomplish something on God's behalf on the earth, that is valuable information to you. Right. That person is a valuable person to you. I have written certain pastors, and I won't jump into naming everybody. I have emailed certain pastors and been like, hey, you went through this scandal, whatever. Would you just sit down and talk to me? I am way too good at sinning to not need the wisdom that you've gained from your experience. Mm. And so when the people have made the time to do that, I find it, I consider it a great gift. And if you're not capable of doing that, I hesitate to trust you. And I think humility says, I am very, and this has happened for me a lot in the last year, I am very intimately aware of my own potential depravity. There is no version of me at no point in time who has logged enough righteousness points to justify sinning in some area or right. to say, I'm not capable of sinning in that area.
Right.
Jesus was capable of sin every moment of his life, and he was God every moment of his life. If that doesn't sober your humility bone, yeah. then it should. So I'm walking around going, at no point in time, like, it's been this long since I've watched pornography? Fantastic. That doesn't mean that I'm not susceptible to it now.
Right.
It's been this long since I've, like, been gluttonous and eaten the wrong foods? That doesn't mean I'm not susceptible to it now. So that awareness of your own potential depravity, it, you would think it would make you
negative. Makes you sober.
It actually makes you humble.
Humble,
and it makes
vigilant.
You strategic, and you plan things better, more appropriately ahead of time. So all that to say, if you have to absolutely do away with humility to get online and talk poorly about any, first of all, anybody else, but second of all, especially people who you do not know personally, you do not understand what their motives are and what they're trying to do. There was that Christian Bale quote that was, if you have a problem with me, you should call me. If you don't have my number, you don't know me well enough to have a problem with me.
That is so good.
So
Christian Bale preaching, though.
No, for sure. Absolutely. All that to say, I've ranted long enough in my Tim Dillon style, but that's how I feel about it. I love that church. I love how Pastor Mark Driscoll apologized to Pastor John and said what I think was true from the beginning. I should have spoken to you first, because no matter how you want it, his interpretation of that acrobat was very like, okay, like an Asherah pole? Do you really think that the people on the creative team at James River were like, let's erect an Asherah pole and let's have a man rip his shirt off and strip? It's an acrobatic thing. I'm certain that conversation happened with one interpretation. And then when he got up there and did it with a very, very severe interpretation, you're like, man, dude, like.
No, there's definitely times wherever we have made creative decisions and all of a sudden with humans in the room,
sure.
I'm watching that creative decision play out and I am cringing. I'm wanting to eat all my fingers.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm wanting to eat offering envelopes.
Offering envelopes, yeah. Offering envelopes.
That's what we talk about. We talk about anytime something is cringe,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
just want to, other people have said, I just want to crawl under the couch and die.
Yeah.
We say, I just want to eat offering envelopes right
yeah.
now.
We had it this past Easter where one of our friends said to me, I didn't appreciate the women that you involved in the production.
And did I go, you tell him?
I did. I had the joy good. Of being like, I mean, I was gentle about it, but the reality is you don't appreciate Luke chapter 8 verses 1 through 5. Like, why would we put something so strange into a scene unless it's directly from Scripture? You know what I mean?
What did they say?
He didn't text back. You know, I was really nice about it. I said, we put that in there just for you, you know, just to make you mad, like as a joke. But the reality is, if it's in Scripture, I'm totally going to feel justified putting it in the... Here's what's weird, and I don't know if you have even time to go in this.
No.
What I find very weird. The people who have opinions about Christian art
So like our productions?
Sure, our productions included, or in general, like, well, you know, you guys should, you know, maybe you should do this. Maybe I go, you should read the Bible, because it is, at times, there's graphic violence. There's
nudity.
There's gore. There's so many I love how Tim Ross says it. He says the Bible has no chill, and I love that. I'm shocked by, dang it, dude.
Say it.
I don't understand how a charismatic evangelical person resolves their capacity to rudely make fun of or mock or deem heretical something that has a secular song in it, when the Bible that they claim to represent, which I know they don't read, is so much more intense.
David chopped off like 900 foreskins.
It's unbelievable.
That's in the Bible.
You couldn't do, like, The Chosen's done a good job of it, but if you made a movie about these people's lives,
it would be rated R.
And you would try to pitch it to Christian people, they wouldn't be able to handle it.
No, church people would not go watch a movie about the Bible.
It would be, yeah, they'd be like, no, it's not really. And it's like, you guys need to read it. Because it's packed full of human, the most disgusting parts about humanity
are
in the Bible. And the most beautiful human to have ever lived, who was God, is in the Bible. And if you can't if you can't resolve those two things existing in the same collection of 66 books written over however many years, then you're an immature believer. Yeah. So drink your milk and go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, drink your milk and go to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Yeah.
We'll warm it up
for you. Yeah, we'll warm it up for you. Enjoy that little baby bottle. You know, and go back to sleep. Because if you live life long enough and you trust God through really difficult seasons and you trust God through the things that make you grow into a mature believer, you have a different humility. You have a limp about you. You don't go around talking big game about another pastor, even if they are heretical.
Even if someone is heretical, I promise to God, people like Pastor Todd, Joel Osteen, those people don't talk smack about other people.
That's right. That's the other thing. I've never heard someone who's accomplished more than me make fun of something I did. It's always someone who hasn't done anything.
It's always the people who are not at the height of the impact of the person that they are making fun of. You know, and I could go on and on. There's a guy who is online and he's like a cool acoustic guitar playing, coffee drinking guy that loves to deconstruct.
Sick.
And he always posts selfies. Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Sick, yeah.
Dude, what a life.
Yeah.
He must be so happy.
Yeah, I hope so.
But here we are making fun of him.
No, sure.
All right, God forgive us. Yeah. We repent. We are wrong.
Yeah.
But he just basically will show snippets of speakers.
Sure.
And then he will deconstruct what they say, and he'll say, you know, this isn't true, and this person is this, and this person is that. And always negative, and they do get lots of comments.
I'm sure.
They get lots of interaction.
I'm sure they do. Enjoy it.
And in my mind, I just think, what's the end game?
Right.
Like, what's the goal?
That's it. Yeah.
What is the goal?
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I'm not that smart. And so I love how complex but also simple the Bible is.
Yeah.
When the Pharisees were like, what's the most important thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do not love themselves.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And because if I don't love myself,
right,
it's going to be very easy for me to find wrong in other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard for me to love my neighbor if I don't love myself.
Right.
Because that's the part in the Bible that people forget. It says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And love the Lord yourself, God. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And when you love God, things that you struggle with, addictions, vices, the more you love God, those tend to fall away.
Yeah.
It's like having dirt in a cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, you try to get it out, but there's still dirt residue.
Sure.
The only way is by filling it up with water and leaving the faucet on.
Yes.
And over time,
absolutely,
it flows out.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to get the mud out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just put it underneath the faucet.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, the more I love God, all of the things that I hate about myself, the things that I screw up in,
yeah,
those things will fade away.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, even though I'm such a firm believer in, again, I don't want to go on another rabbit trail,
sure,
on stopping addictions or stopping cold turkey. And there's awesome stories of people who stopped smoking, stopped getting drunk.
Sure.
They stopped porn.
Sure.
They stopped sleeping around or whatever.
Sure,
and they were able to stop completely cold turkey. I'm like, if you just focus on that main thing,
mm-hmm,
love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, what it does is it makes you investigate yourself first.
Precisely, yeah.
Because you can't give away what you do not have. And so anyways, I think to all of us who are experiencing this podcast today,
mm-hmm,
you know, we are just people that we are so grateful to serve Victory.
Yeah.
We're so grateful to serve our pastors. We see very closely to our pastors. We see all of the times that they fail,
mm-hmm,
the times that they mess up,
mm-hmm,
and how they are completely human.
Yeah, for sure.
And they see where we fail.
Mm-hmm.
They see where we are human.
Yeah.
And they see our mess ups.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's a spotlight on them.
No, sure.
But yet we're still working here.
Totally.
And yet God has still decided,
yeah,
to do things through us and in us, which I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we are living the example. You know, we definitely try to.
Sure.
But I just think that any time that you guys begin to see, all of us,
yeah,
any time that we begin to see someone throwing someone under the rug or throwing them under the bus with ministry or leadership, I think just realizing, okay, getting understanding, getting context, and whatever I comment,
yeah,
is it going to be out of love?
Right, right.
Even if what they did was wrong or what,
yeah,
they said was wrong or heresy,
mm-hmm,
what I comment, is it going to be out of love?
Right.
And if it's not, what are you adding?
Right, exactly.
And I think that that's a great question to add is, okay, I'm a believer. But now, that's only for the believers.
Sure.
If you're not a believer, shoot, say
have
whatever
at it.
You want.
Enjoy it.
But if you are a believer,
mm-hmm,
you know, one day God's,
yeah,
going to read all of your comments,
yeah,
in front of heaven.
No, every idle word. Absolutely.
Every,
yeah,
idle word.
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah,
true. That's,
yeah,
scripture.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The last thing I'll say is this. If you really do deem another preacher to be wrong and heretical, if that person is your enemy, all that means is they're qualified to be on your prayer list. It doesn't say comment underneath videos of your enemy. It says pray for them. So if you prayed for them half as much as you commented on what they're doing wrong, you know, then I think you would shift your perspective.
And I bet you would see probably more of God at work in your life.
I bet.
Yeah. Because
absolutely,
wherever there's prayer,
mm-hmm,
whenever there's like just trash talk or you're,
mm-hmm,
talking crap about someone,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
it's just like, okay, what is this adding to the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, hey, but we love you guys. That was a wild ride today. But
in the event this actually got posted, thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And if you have something bad to say about us, pray
comments
for us
are turned off on our videos.
Okay,
you know
good,
that?
Good.
I turned off comments on our YouTube. So enjoy it.
Yeah, pray for us.
You could journal. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.